So, if you listened, Paul talked about our relationship with God and our relationship with Jesus Christ and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. In this passage in Romans, Paul is emphasizing that we belong to God, that we are a fellow heir to God's mission along with Jesus Christ, that we have received the Holy Spirit from God as Jesus did, and that we are therefore God's adopted children. He says to us, if you fear that you are alone, if you fear that you are unwanted, if you fear that you do not belong, fear not, for Jesus did not come to live and die and live again in order for you to go into fear. Paul is instead saying, you are a loved child of God. You belong to God. You will always have space in this holy family. And this, I think, is a much simpler view of the Trinity and what it does than many people will hear across this country on this day, and indeed the world, on this day, the only day in our church calendar when we celebrate a doctrine. For it is Holy Trinity Sunday. The great mystery that God is triune, that God is three distinct persons, but still one God forevermore in unity as well as in Trinity. And it gets kind of confusing. At least I think so. And so when Paul lays out this model of relationship, I think it's a lot easier to understand these concepts than when we talk about Greek language and the beings and essences and of God and the natures of Jesus Christ, whether he is two natures or one nature, and we don't understand all that stuff because we're not Greek philosophers. So today we're going to talk about the Holy Trinity in relationship, and we're going to do it with three questions. And the first question is, what is your name? For this is the surest proof that we have of our concept of Trinity, this idea we have three distinct names. Now, in the New Testament, these names were God Father, Abba, Daddy. As we now look at it, we say maybe Father, Mother, Parent, Creator. All of these names we say to have the relationship that we are a child of God. It is a name that we ascribe to God because names mean things. Whether someone calls me Nathan, whether someone calls me Daddy, whether someone calls me Nathan Lord Hayden Willard, or simply Lord Hayden, as they often mockingly did in college. It means something to be named. It means there's a relationship there. We, with the names we call one another and allow ourselves to be called, indicate relationship with one another. It may be that we are intimate friends so that you know a nickname. It may be that there is someone reading my name off of a sheet for the first time, and you can tell this because they again look at me quizzically when they read my full name. Really? It may be the formal name of an installation ceremony saying, I have a formal relationship with you. So as we call names, as we call God Father, or we call God Mother, or we call God Parent, we say, I am in relationship with you, and I understand myself with you in this way, that at this moment, I need to be reminded that I have a parent or a step-parent that loves me. I need to be reminded that I am not alone, and that though my parents, well, my parents are here, but though my parents may not be living, I have a parent who is with me and present. If I call God Creator, I may say the world is chaos and I need to know that there is order in it somewhere. And so we call God by different names to say this is our relationship to you. The Holy Spirit is the same way. We say we need a Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the Holy Ghost, something that we cannot see and we cannot understand, but that we can feel running through us and supporting us. So we name that thing Holy Spirit, the God that is present in our bodies and throughout us, not just in our presence, but in us. We name that thing a spirit because we know spirits work through us and communicate in silence. And the third name that we have is Jesus Christ. Sometimes when we need a brother, we call him Jesus. Sometimes when we need to be reminded that there is God in the world, there was an anointed one, we call him Christ, his title, the anointed one. Sometimes we call Jesus Lord, reminding us that we serve God and not other humans. Those times when we are at work and we are tired and we are lonely and we are sad and we say, why is my life such misery because I am serving this oppressive boss? We say, no, Jesus is my Lord, not some boss of mine, not some government leader of mine. This is the person that I follow. This person who seeks to lift up all of humanity and to build a new kingdom on earth in which there is peace and reconciliation and justice and an end to oppression. By name, we know that, by name and by title. So we ask ourselves, what God is your name? And we get these three and more names to remind us that as we seek relationship with God, there is a name to describe that relationship for us. God, the Father, God, the Mother, God, our parent, God, the Holy Spirit, God in Jesus Christ. But these are three distinct beings, not only with different names, but also doing things in the world. So the second question is, what is your quest? We know God, our parent, we know God's quest was to create a world in which we can operate and build our own kingdom, in which we can love one another, in which we have peace and reconciliation from now until the end of creation, which is eternal. God created this world that we might improve it. In Jesus Christ, we saw God coming to us to say, we must restore your vision of what this kingdom can be, not simply a kingdom based on violence, a parochial kingdom of earth serving earthly masters, but a kingdom of peace where we can overthrow oppressive institutions. As we talked about last week and the week before, as we discussed the Holy Spirit, Jesus tells us, yes, we have the power in ourselves to communicate with one another, to break down barriers with one another, to band together, to end oppression against all sorts of people. And so Jesus' quest on earth was to remind us that there are no barriers between us. As Paul says, no Jew or Greek, no male or female. As Jesus said, the distinction between Samaritans and Jews is nonsensical. We are all loved children of God, and this was Jesus' quest. In the Holy Spirit, we see throughout history the Holy Spirit animating that which is dead, making possible things we had thought were impossible, whether it was, as we read last week, making dry bones dance, or whether it was, again last week, as we discussed at the Pentecost, in Jerusalem, having people speak tongues they had never learned to communicate the miracle of God with one another. Whether it is today, those strengths to do the things we think we cannot do, to face the dangers we think we cannot face, to overcome the fears we think are impossible to overcome. This is what the Holy Spirit's quest in our world is. So we have these things about our relationship to God as we name God, and our relationship to God as we have a direction. What part of this quest are we on together? What kind of kingdom building are we doing for God? So these are the two big relationships we have. But we also call on the Trinity as part of our life as a church. Our life together as a church and a schedule as a church where we say, what are the differences in our calendar so that we may distinctly move from one time to another time? So our third question is, what is your favorite color? What color are our pyramids today? White. And as the youth would tell you, this white stands for Jesus Christ. And so we have it today on Holy Trinity Sunday because it stands for Jesus Christ, but it also stands for something else, right? All of you optics fans, what kind of a color is white? What does white mean as a color? Presence. It's the presence of all colors. You think it's the absence, that's black. It's the presence of all colors, too. We're on in the visual spectrum anyway, where we have the rainbow, we have white light that has all the colors, nothing is blocking it out, right? Everything is being reflected. And so in white, we have the presence of all colors as the Holy Trinity. Last week, we had what color? Red. Red was the Holy Spirit. Now, for me, that's my favorite color. I wish we had more Sundays where we had red paraments in the church. I keep on thinking about different, like, occasional events in the church that we can sort of adopt as local practice to have red paraments, just so we can pull them out some more. This is actually true. I almost said that on Monday. Well, let's not switch to white for the funeral. Let's do red to remind ourselves of the Holy Spirit. But the Beckwiths were too efficient. They'd already changed them. So I said, okay, maybe not. So red is my favorite color because it reminds me of the energy of God and the ability for us to do different things and the flame of transformation. Now, we don't have a specific color for God, the eternal God, and maybe there is, you know, something in that. Maybe we can find another color to celebrate God as we do every week, some item to put on there to remind ourselves of the presence of God, our parent. But it is a question of our visual reminders in the sanctuary. This is another relationship to God because we cannot see God. We cannot see God the parent. We cannot see God in Jesus Christ. We cannot see the Holy Spirit. So we need icons to remind ourselves of these things, whether they are colors or whether they are unladen African swallows, as you see on the screen. We need reminders of what these things are. And that is how we are in relationship with them. And so as we leave here on this Holy Trinity Sunday, hopefully this mystery is still mysterious to you, but you walk away from here with some other understanding of why it is we describe God in the way of the Trinity. Because it is a reminder every day that there are infinite names for God. And that as we see people trying to cut down God and put God in a box, we know that that is just one way of naming God, and that as we need God on our journey, as we seek strength and peace and reconciliation, there is a name and a relationship of God that God has made possible for us so that we may be reminded, as Paul said, that we are never alone. We always belong as part of this family, God's family, and heir to God's mission in the world, just like Jesus Christ was heir to God's mission in this world. This is the joy of the Trinity. And this is the joy of relationship with God and with one another. Amen.